you would this morning, would you stand with me real quick? I'm going to read the word over you this morning, starting in Ephesians. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. You may be seated. Amen. Isn't that an awesome scripture? Isn't that what we need to do every morning when we wake up? And this morning, I want to come to encourage you guys as your little brother in Christ. I want to come before you this morning. That's what I want to do. I want to bring the word forth, and I want to encourage you guys. What we're talking about this morning is walking in the power of the Spirit. How many of us desire to do that on a daily basis? How many of us at many times struggle with walking in the Spirit? So we got some honest, this is going to be great. I'm going to keep my hand up. You know, and that is the thing that I want to encourage you with this morning. It's how that we can walk in the power of the Spirit every day. When we wake up in the morning, we can get into that scripture. And that's what I challenge you with. If that's something you're struggling with right now, would you crack that every morning and read that? Guys, we've got to imprint the Word of God upon our heart. It can't be just something that's read over us. It's got to be something that comes out of us. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to encourage you guys to get the Word of God in your heart in such a way that we can walk and we can stand. Because think about what it says in Ephesians. It says it's called us to take a stand against the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly realms. We're talking about Satan here and his army. We're talking about the very war that's going on for your soul that's happening in a realm where you can't see with your physical eyes. But if we are led by the Spirit, we are aware of it. And we don't have to be afraid of it because we are being led by the Spirit, and greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's what I want to get us to understand this morning, that we have something to be excited about. We have got a hope. We have got a future, and He's got plans for us. And so this morning, if I can do that for you, okay? To start off this morning, I want to start with just a little bit of a testimony about myself. I'm telling you one thing right now, the stage is not big enough and I'm going to break it. So if I step down and you can't see me, I'm sorry. One thing about me is at the age of 7, my dad got saved. And it was one of the pivotal times of my life because I wanted to be like my daddy. I follow my dad everywhere. My dad was my hero. And you know, when I watched my dad in those years from up till 7 partying, my dad come from a rough background, I'll tell you what. He was one of the kids out of 7 of them that was abused, basically pulled out of school in the 6th grade to work the farm. And then basically when the farm failed, they left him there at the age of 16 to fend for himself. Said, you're on your own. And so my dad was really abused. Mentally, he was abused. Physically, he was abused. He was hurt. He was broken. So my dad went on to go into a life of drugs and alcohol. And it seemed to consume his life. When he met my mom, they were both on that track, and they were both partying. I remember being at parties, and there was beer, and there was all sorts of crazy things going on. And at that age, I still love my dad, though. You know, my dad was my dad. But there was one day my dad was sitting on a porch with a guy, and they were actually smoking some of that other stuff, the funny stuff. And they were smoking that together, and the guy was sitting there. My dad just starts spilling his guts. Like, man, I don't know what to do. I love my family. I just feel like every time I try to find a job, I can't keep it. Just things are rough. And my dad was just sharing his, you know, his feelings, his heart, true heart. Didn't even know the guy, really. But he just started spilling. You ever done that? You don't know anybody? You're like, oh, here it is. Well, he did that. In desperation, the guy looks at him and says, I don't know what to tell you, but Jesus loves you and so do I. I mean, they're doing drugs, okay? But this is the power of our God. When He wants to capture us, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're standing on your hands and whatever and juggling with your feet. If God says this is the time, there's the time. And my dad, from that point, was like, what? He threw it through the funny weed down. And he decided to take a turn. From that point, he was on a mission. That next day, we went out, we tried to find this guy. We're like, where does this guy live? Where is he? And my dad finally found him. He said, why did you say that to me? And the guy said, because honestly, he goes, I'm struggling just like you, but I needed to know that. And he goes, I'm trying to change myself. And so together, these two men went on a quest. And I remember late nights in the evening, they're sitting around the table with the Bible, and man, all they're doing is reading. And I can just remember my dad saying, wow, I just feel like an elephant jumped off my shoulders. And I'm excited. I'm standing at the doorway. I'm supposed to be in bed, and I'm going, oh, this is cool. I don't know what's going on, but man, this is way better than that stuff he was smoking. You know, and he was excited about something that really, you know, I didn't have a clue about, but all I knew is I want to be like my daddy. So I remember this kind of went on, and my dad met a pastor, and this pastor led my dad into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My dad was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. For some of you who don't know what that means, speaking in tongues is basically it's a heavenly language where we get to communicate to the Father in such a way that we can't communicate with our English language. It is so deep and so real and it's so enriched, and it hits the point deeper than any word that we can speak in any language here on this earth. And that's what it means, and that's what it's always meant to me. And I'll tell you what, God has answered some amazing prayers whenever that come out of me, when the Holy Spirit was able to work through me. And so I watched my dad get filled with the Spirit when I was 7 years old, and I remember holding his hand. And man, I'll tell you what, it's not all about a feeling, but let me tell you something. When somebody's being filled with the Spirit and you got to hold them, it's like getting shocked. That's all I know. As a kid, I was so excited. My dad, I mean, he was just filled with the Spirit, and he walked in power. And I remember every day after that, we're sitting on the porch, and I'm playing cards with my friends. My friends are coming over, and I got a few buddies, and my dad's sitting on the porch, and he's witnessing to my buddies. And he's sharing Jesus in just a simple, basic form. He's just sharing Jesus. And it was really cool. I didn't understand it all. My dad, after my friends would leave, he would come up to me alongside me and go, son, you see what I was doing? He said, I was teaching about Jesus. And he goes, he taught me sometimes we just plant the seed, sometimes we water. But either way, he said, we got to put forth the gospel, the message. So I remember later that summer, we had a shed out back. I found a bunch of old folding chairs. And I found myself a little podium, well, kind of like a podium. And I got myself my little New Testament Bible. And I invited all my buddies on the block. I set them down in the chair. I didn't know how to preach, so I just read the word. And it was awesome. I'm saying all this to say, it's because it's by that example that I was hungry. God has given us an example through Jesus Christ in such a way of what it means to lay down our lives, what it means to sacrifice, what it means to get up. But He's also given us the Holy Spirit in order to empower us to do so. Well, after my dad was filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't know how to go about asking for it. All I knew is I saw it happen and it was real. And so I remember I laid in my bed one night, and I lifted up my hands, and I began to just ask. I just simply asked, Lord, would you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit that I may speak in these tongues? At the age of 7, I began to speak in tongues, and I began to pray out loud in my room. Every night I would pray to the Lord in tongues and practice those tongues. Later, again that summer, I was at a church, and we were told to go invite our buddies. We're going to have a big rally with a bunch of kids. Whoever brings the most gets a prize. I was stoked. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I lived in an apartment complex, a big one. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's on. So I'm knocking doors. They had to get 3 busloads to take them to church. Now, I'm not saying that to boast on myself. I'm saying that so you are encouraged to know that whenever we are obedient to the Spirit, whenever we are obedient to God, He is faithful and He will answer that call. And He will draw men unto Him as we lift them up with our lives as a sacrifice. No matter how uncomfortable, no matter what the discomfort may be, we have to be willing. And at that age, of course, I was a kid. I'm not afraid of anything. But as we get older sometimes, it's like, that's not my situation. We've got to learn to overcome that as well. Okay? But because of that, I was empowered to do that through the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with this morning. That God doesn't just do it for me as a kid or any kid. He does it for all of us. So if you would, turn with me I've got my notes here and I'm not real good at this notes thing. I usually do it without. All right? Jeremiah 29:11, because we're going to talk about what God has for you. He says here in 29:11, Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Listen to that. "Then you will call upon me and come to me, and I will listen to you." Do you understand that? There is some steps in the process where we have to be willing to come to Him. We have to go to Him on a daily basis. That's why I challenge you this morning. Every morning we get up, let's get into Ephesians. Let's put on the full armor of God. Let's say, "God, before my feet hit the ground, I want to lay it down before you. I want to give it all up to you. And Lord, you show me the way." And another little quick testimony here of that is that I'm at work. I work construction, for some of you who don't know. And there's this welder that came in, and I got to work with this guy. Well, he's a little arrogant. Let me tell you, first thing he does, looks at me and says, "That ain't done right." And he does talk with a drawl. He's from Oklahoma. And he says, "That's not right. That's not within a 1/16 of an inch. That ain't going to cut it, Bubba." Yeah, I got called Bubba. Won't be the first time or the last, I'm sure. Man, at that point, I got to admit, my flesh was rising up. I wanted to say, "I'm not your Bubba." I wanted to tell this guy what's up. I'm 30. I have 3 kids and 1 on the way. Like, that would have mattered. But I really wanted to tell this guy what's up in my flesh. I admit it. And at that moment, I said, "Okay, I got to go to the bathroom." And I went and prayed. Sometimes you have to do that in life, by the way. You have to find that out so you can go and get with God quick before your flesh says something you don't want it to. And so I did, and I prayed. Later that day, he began to talk about his life. Kind of started opening up a little bit, sharing stuff. So I got a chance to share about my life. Told him what I love to do. Told him I love to preach to young people. I love to help encourage young people to come to know Jesus Christ. He goes, "Whoa." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a youth pastor." He said, "Really?" He said, "That's cool." He said, "My wife and I have been trying to get on the right track for a long time." He said, "We've been married. We've been divorced." He said, "I've just been through a lot of hurts and pains." And he said, "But we're trying real hard." And all of a sudden, this man just starts breaking down in front of me. He shares with me how his mom and his dad committed suicide about 11 months apart, about 2 years ago. And I'm going jaw drop. "Oh, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help this guy." And God's going, "Hey, you're not. I am. Just obey. Listen." See, God's got a plan for us. And if we're obedient, just get out of our flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and lead us so that we can walk in that power. Because trust me, it takes walking in the power of the Spirit to overcome some of those things at times when you want to take the lead. When you want to be in control, you have got to let go. You have got to surrender. Just like that last song. It's what it's going to take, people. To be a powerful servant of Christ, it takes laying it all down before Him. Saying, "God, here I am." And at that moment, that guy began to spill. Well, guess what? That next day, I'm together in the morning, and I'm talking to a few of my friends, and he walks up to me, and he... "All right, let's go." "Yes, Dad." Again, let me tell you something. Again, new day, fresh day. Dude, you got to put on the armor, because I'm telling you what, man, somebody just shot an arrow at you and made you look like this big. You know, I felt like Daddy was calling me. And I, you know what, I wanted to rise up, and I went to the bathroom. "Yeah, I'll be there. I got to go to the bathroom, Dad." And I went and prayed again, and I said, "God, you got to help me with this. Lord, please help me with this, God. I need your armor. I need the power of your Spirit to do this, because, God, in my own flesh, I have all sorts of ideas of how I want to respond. But I said, Lord, would you watch my mouth, please? Let your words come forth." Well, I get up there on the roof, and he turns around, and he goes, "I'm not feeling so well. Would you lay hands on me and pray?" I'm like, "Oh, Lord. You are awesome, God. Amazing God." He is an amazing God, isn't he? He is an amazing God. And if it wasn't for God leading me in that moment, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me, I would not have been able to power my way through that. Okay? And that's the picture I want us to see this morning. Are we letting the Holy Spirit direct us, or are we being guided by our flesh? And many of you admitted that this is a tough thing to do at times. And I'm telling you what, I'm with you. And I haven't got this nailed down. But the Lord has, doesn't He? That's the amazing I am that we learned about. That no matter what the distractions, even ourselves as a distraction, our mind, our thoughts, our flesh, things that come against us. And that's what I want to talk about next. I want to talk about the plan that the adversary has for you. Let's go to John 10:10, shall we? In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. But what does the Lord come to do? He comes to give us life." Okay? And when I got to thinking about this steal, I'm thinking, what does he come to steal? And this guy kind of showed me, you know what? A lot of times he comes to steal our focus on God. In that moment when that guy came up to me and my flesh rose up, I lost focus right there. I'll tell you what, I lost focus. So he's coming sometimes to steal our focus on God. What happens when we lose our focus on God? We start to trip. We start to slip. Walls begin to go up. We start to feel empty. We start to feel even maybe depressed. We start to feel all sorts of things. And it begins to govern our lives and control us and rule us. And it has reign over us. And that's what I want us to get this morning, is that we have to be aware of it, not fear it, not walk in fear of it, but to be aware of the attacks the enemy has on you personally. So many times we walk through this life and we don't see the attacks. They blindside us and we think, well, that's just who I am. And we've accepted a lie. We've accepted deceit. He has stolen our focus on God. Two, he likes, what is he going to kill? Does that mean he's going to come out and stab me? Pitchfork. No, not exactly. But a lot of the times he likes to kill our ability to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He likes to stab it right off the bat and kill it and drop it, and then you have no power whatsoever. You have nothing to battle, nothing to stand. You can't even stand. And if he can get you not standing, then how effective are you, not only for yourself in glorifying God, but as a witness, as a light in dark places? How are you going to help that dude that needs prayer on the roof? You know what I'm saying? How are you going to help that guy that, you know, when you don't have the ability to even walk in the power of the Spirit because the wall is there? You see what I'm saying? We have got to know. You know what? He spent a lot of time knowing you. Let me tell you something. The enemy has studied you, and he's been here for a long time, and he knows what it's going to take to keep you away from God, to keep you away from the power of the Spirit, so that you cannot walk in his might and his power, so that you're not effective, not only in knowing God, but you're not effective in helping others to come know God. How many of you today know people you want them to come to Jesus real bad? Amen. You want them to come to the Lord. Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your spouse. Guys, this is real important. This is where the enemy just socks us in the gut. And if we're not wearing that armor, it's going to hurt. And it'll affect us. If we don't think it'll affect us, man, I tell you, you're dead wrong. It'll prevent you from walking in the power of the Spirit. It'll prevent you from even feeling like you're a Christian sometimes, going, man, what is wrong with me? These are the punches the enemy's, these are the blows the enemy's likes to give us. And this is what he's out to do. This is his plan, and to destroy us. Ultimately, our souls forever going to be with God, forever spending time with him. That's how powerful our adversary is. So I want to ask you guys, God gave me a little word here a while back, and I'm going to try to bring this out the best I can. Please bear with me. Sometimes it's like we're in a boat. We're giving our hearts to God. We know we're Christians, but we're like sometimes we're in a boat. And we're paddling along. Oh, yeah. Let God arise. And we got the music. We got the songs. We're charging all of a sudden. We notice, man, my feet are wet. What's going on? And then we notice, oh, whoa, that's not cool. Oh, no. Next thing you know, we're down there with a cup going, oh boy, we're looking for land. Please, where is the land? And we're in desperation, going, oh man, I'm going to sink. And I don't know how long I'm going to swim. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's going to attack me. I don't know what's going to kill me. And we're scared. Guys, and we're looking for the hole, going, okay, we're going to patch it with. We can't even find the hole. We're looking for the hole. It's just like, wow, this must be a pinhole. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the pinhole or the pinholes in our boats. A lot of the time, the enemy has devised plans and ways to come against us. Now, granted, those trials sometimes that we are given into, the Lord allows us to go through to face it so that we can develop character and strengthen. But guys, know this. Grow from them. Don't trip over the same rock for the rest of your life, because the enemy is laughing and going, ha ha, They'll never grow beyond that rock. They'll continually trip over the same root I have put before them. We have got to start going, oh, I remember that. Thank you, God. In step. Because it ain't that big, because it ain't that hard to be filled with the Spirit. I was filled at 7 years old, and I just asked. I'm trying to tell you, it's simple to get filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want to make it a complicated process. He wants to give you power, and He wants to give it to you right away. Why? For His glory, for His purpose, and because He loves you. And He loves all those other sheep out there that we're trying to reach, but for some reason we keep doing this. And we're distracted, just like this video this morning you saw. Listen to all of the distractions of your life. And that's what I want you to do right now. Did we have blank sheets of paper in there, their notes? Would you guys take the blank sheet of paper out? Okay, I'm going to do two things right now, okay? We're talking about the pinholes of the boat. What I want to do is I want to make this a little bit interactive. I want us to begin to share with one another so that we all become aware of it, okay? Not fear it, but aware of it. I want us to begin to talk about what are some of the pinholes in our boat. If it's personal, I want you to write it on the paper. If it's something you feel like everybody needs to know, whoa, be aware of this. This will sink your boat. This will prevent you from walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to shout it out. I want to hear our voices this morning as we encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. What is preventing us? What is sinking our boats? Does anybody have any ideas what some of the pinholes might be? Just give me an example. Anger. We put anger up there. Richard.
Depression.
Jealousy. He may get a few of these and not, because he's going to have to type really fast, but give me some more, guys. What do we got?
Worry.
Pride. Yes. All of these things are pinholes in the boat. Hey, and you know, just for a brief pause on that moment, think about those things. How many of us go day to day and they're undealt with? Pride. And then we just move on. Do you think the pinhole just magically disappeared and that it's not going to sink anymore? No. Right? That's why we have to give it up to God. We have to lay it all down before Him. What are some other things? What are some other pinholes?
Unforgiveness.
Man, what a major hindrance. You know the thing about unforgiveness is, not only does it put you in bondage and chains, it puts the person you have unforgiven in bondage and chains too. Hey, our words are powerful. Our actions are powerful. Okay? That's why God put us together to love one another, because through His love and agape love and unconditional love, we can be strengthened in the Spirit to do His work, to do His will. You see, this is where God has us. He has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us. But the enemy has a plan to destroy us. So you think about the battle that's going on that you can't see with your eyes. Is why we have to put on the full armor of God, and we've got to begin to understand there's an enemy and an adversary after us, and we've got to know what are those pinholes. Okay? What are some other ones?
Deceit.
Selfishness. Hate. Selfishness.
Lying.
Fear. Amen to that. Man, fear. Fear can really get us. These are all good things. And while you're doing that, I want you to write these things down on your paper. Personalize them. Maybe you have unforgiveness for somebody and you know who it is and you've got to deal with it. Guys, my challenge for you brothers and sisters, that's all it is, because I got to do the same thing. I do. I am no better. Okay? But we have got to write these things down. We've got to get it to a point where it's like we know where the enemy's going to attack our lives, and we know that all God's called us to do is stand in the power of His might. Some of us don't even know how to stand. It's hard for us to get on our feet. Okay? This morning, that's what I want us to do. So write those things down. Write those pinholes down that is causing us to be distracted and pulled away from the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And my last and final thing is an action step. I have an action step for us this morning. First of all, there is a solution. There is a solution. Guys, and we sang about it this morning. It was the last song. Our solution is the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant that God made with us through the blood of His Son, dying on the cross for our sins. You see, so many of us are out there and we're so distracted, pulling out the water. We're so busied with that. We don't have the time to spend with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't have time to witness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're ineffective. In a sense, we're injured Christians. And boy, doesn't the enemy love that. That we're so injured that we don't have, you know, what it takes to get out there and have our eyes and ears on, looking for the person's needs, looking around you for that stranger and what his need is, so that we can say, God, use me as a vessel. Here I am. Instead, we're in these boats and we're sinking and we're just scooping out the water just so we can stay afloat. We become a Christian that is just a stay afloat Christian instead of a Christian that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to move and do what the Lord has called him to do. How many of you want to be there today? How many of you want to say, God, I want to be there. Some of you may be there right now. Praise God. Now you encourage your brother. Now you encourage your sister. That's what it's like. Brothers and sisters, we look after each other. Amen. Amen. God has called us to do that. And this morning, that's what I'm calling us to do in that challenge. I'm agreeing with the Lord. We've got to do that. I want that for my life. I need accountability in that same sense, so that we're not just injured Christians. And guys, one last point. As for some of us, we may not just be having the problem with the pinholes in the boat. We might want to consider whether I'm in the right boat or not. You see, because if God is not the captain of our ship, if he's not the captain of our boat, we may not even be in the right boat. And you see what I'm saying? The Lord wants to lead and direct us. And sometimes we go, oh, I got this one, God. And we are pedaling out there and pedaling, and we're in this boat, and God's on the, that's going to be ugly. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're in the wrong boat. We're going, and we're zealous. Sometimes it's not even bad. I want you to get this picture. This is kind of tricky sometimes. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we get ahead of it. Give me the paddle, God. I got it. You know, you're halfway out there, and Jesus is going, oh, Lord, God, did you see that? Let's help him. And you know, Jesus, I know, because he is so loving and he's so awesome, he's going to come and fill the pinholes in your boat. But wouldn't it be more amazing if you were in the right boat? Amen? Wouldn't it be more amazing if every day you woke up, you go, ah, that's my godly boat. God, I'm on board with you this morning because you've got the plan and I want to join you. If I'm going to prosper, I want to be on the same boat in the path, because he has a plan for our lives. Who has the plan? God has a plan. We don't have the plan. Our plans are, whoa. God, I think if we take this angle, that angle, that angle, and God's going, why don't you just go A to B? It's straight. He goes, what are we afraid of? Well, God, the monster. No, I'm bigger than him. You see what I'm saying? We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in those things. But we've got to begin to know, what is it that the enemy does to get to me? That begins, in a sense, to put a block and a block and a block. And the Holy Spirit's going, hey, you're building a wall. And I'm trying to get rid of that wall. Get on board with the Lord. Well, that rhymed. I like that. Get on board with the Lord. And so this morning, I challenge you. Those things that you wrote down this morning, would you do me a favor? As we end here, we're going to take up an offering and a tithe. Would you take those things? We're going to pull a trash can over here in a minute, right next to the cross here. I want you to wad them up. No one's going to go digging in the trash can. If they do, I'll be sure to get after them. We're going to throw them away. We're going to make this practical so that we can begin to see this. This is a process we've got to do maybe like every single day. Maybe it's every day. Because that's what it takes. We are going to be Christians who are going to do whatever it takes to say, God, let me get out of the way and get on board with you so that I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit without being hindered. And let me know when the enemy attacks what it's going. So, whoa, I got Jesus. I got the shield. Ha, what now? Well, don't get cocky, but you know what I mean? We've got to get to that place. And so we're going to do this practical. We're going to wad those up. And on your way out, after we take a tithe and offering, would you guys just throw those in the trash? Throw them in the trash. And if you would, as you're walking, pray over those things. God, just, you know what? You can even begin to do that at the end of the service and just sit there and pray over them and say, God, I give these up to you. I surrender them. I lay it all down before you. And that's what we're asking this morning. Would you join with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you are the great I am. I thank you, God, that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the pinholes, God, you are a graceful and a merciful and a faithful God, that you never give up on us, God. You never quit on us. And I thank you, Lord, that we are not going to sink because, God, you're gonna get us in the right place this morning, God. But I pray, God, that we would do our part. And our part is, God, that we would be aware of it, and we wouldn't be afraid of it, we wouldn't be scared of it, but God, that we would examine our lives in that way. Would you show us this morning those things that hinder us from walking in the power of your Spirit, so that, God, that we can follow you, God, God, with a full heart, God, ready to do your will and lay it all down before you, God. I ask these things in your wonderful name. Well said? Amen.
We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. Right now, this is another form of worship. We're talking about sacrificing and giving things to God, and that's exactly what tithes and offerings are. So we're going to receive tithes and offerings here, and then after we finish singing, you are dismissed, and you can stop by the cross and throw away those things that you wrote down, your pinholes in your boat. Let's go ahead and pass the offering plate.
Given you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Given you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of a new life.
Everybody, that was Randy's first sermon ever. Didn't he do a great job? Excellent job. Thank you for coming out, everybody. Enjoy the Arizona Wildcats game today in about a half an hour. You're dismissed. Thanks a lot.